Safely Exposed is an experience intended to
educate without overwhelming,
empower without enforcing,
and elevate without leaving anyone behind.
Let's talk about it.
We're hot.
And we're back.
And we're back.
What are we talking about today, Bianca?
Today we'll be discussing, is it quirky or questionable?
Just like our intro, is that quirky or questionable?
Or certifiable, delulu.
Yeah, that word, delulu.
Yeah. Words mean things.
Yes, they do. And if you haven't checked out our terms and conditions
episode, yeah, please check that out. But
last season.
Delulu is to mean delusional, right?
I guess.
Yes. Delulu. I never thought delusional would be like a...
And it sounds cute. That sounds cute.
It's delulu.
Like a cute word, yeah.
Like, wait, are you calling it delusional?
And being delusional is not cute.
It's not.
No.
Like, it's actually...
In a real sense,
like, and they'll put you in a huggy jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're hurting yourself and others.
Right, yeah.
They don't use the huggy jackets anymore, do they?
I'm not...
I mean, when I say huggy jacket,
no, I
mean straight jacket.
And I'm not sure if that intervention is still used.
I haven't seen that.
I definitely know about, like, restraints. Restraints are definitely used, right? Not just in, like, the mental health capacity, too.
Yeah.
So... I'm not sure too much about inpatient things, but...
I went deep there. I went all the way.
But I'm going to stay in my lane, you know. So, So, quirky or questionable? How are we defining it for this episode, right?
I don't know. What
I looked up a definition. Really, it was just what's atypical? What is unusual? Unexpected or peculiar traits.
So quirky could be like something that's quirky could be societal, like your culture finds that quirky, where another culture is just like, yeah, that's normal. That's something we all do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like eating bugs, some certain bugs.
Yes. Eating on the floor,
mm-hmm.
Eating with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
For me and my culture, they'd be like, that's quirky. Other cultures would be like, no, that's how we eat. Like, so I don't. This utensil business.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there things that you think that you do are quirky? Or do they fall on the diagnosable ends? Like, where do you fall?
I think back when I didn't know, like, things like I have ADHD and that I have CPTS. Girl, what is it?
I don't know what
chronic or complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay. So before I knew that, I thought like my hypervigilance was a quirk.
Yeah.
And realized like, no, that's you trying to be safe. So like asking people like really intensely, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Is part of that like hypervigilance. Like I need to know how this person's feeling so that I can feel safe with them.
Okay.
And I just thought people were like, oh, they just really care. And I'm like, I mean, I care about you, but...
It's not.
Yeah. They're like, that's sweet. I'm like, okay. But
got it.
I thought it was just a quirk where like, I know people who need to sit at the back of the room and face all exits and see who comes in and out. I learned that's hypervigilance. Like needing to be able to see who's moving in and out of the room. Right. I was like, oh, so like, I mean, depending, again, I can't diagnose anybody, but those are parts of that kind of diagnosis.
Well, and as you were talking, I kept thinking about, oh my goodness, I think I have kind of like a radar for what is like, is quirky to me and then what's diagnosable. Being like a therapist, like I'll get this sense, I'm like, oh, something, this is not just, this is something I'm questioning and maybe it's a marker for something more. Which, you know, that's always on in my brain when I'm actually in session with the client, like what's a marker versus what's, just something that they're doing. And I always have to be on like that too, because clients will then ask like, is this like, diagnosable? Like, do I have this condition or, you know, and there are some people like, I would never consider myself having been depressed. You know, I've been sad that one time. And so I'm always like wondering how are people like pathologizing themselves and doing it and others? Because two, people will say like, oh, this person's gaslighting me. And I'm like, they lied to you once. And gaslighting is not lying, one. And two, when someone does something once, that doesn't make usually a definition.
Right. That's a one-time thing. They're a liar. We can call them a liar for that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, I was just thinking about
actually, they're not even a liar. They're a liar. They lied.
They lied.
It's a one-time thing. Liar suggests they do this multiple. It's a pattern of behavior.
Right. So are y'all out there diagnosing people or yourselves? And how are you doing that?
Like, what are quirks? What are, like, downright quirks?
Like, for me, a quirk, I'm trying to think of some of my quirks. Like, what do I do? I put on weird accents or, like.
Well, I do that, too.
Voices, you know? Like,
I love my news anchor voice.
Yes. I mean, you got an example of what we were doing at the beginning earlier, yes.
I love to call my homies, like, good afternoon. This is B calling you.
Yeah.
Are you available to talk? I send people voice messages like that.
Okay.
And they're like, what? I'm like, it's just fun for me.
Like, with my child, I do voices all the time. And, like, he's 4, and he does voices now. We try to, like, there's a scene from the movie Aristocats, you know, the Disney movie Aristocats. And there's these dogs. They have this, like, really deep, like, folksy country accent. And he's like, where's my bumper shoot? So now my son tries to say it, and it sounds nothing like it, but it's so funny.
Thank God for effort.
Yes. And so that's, you know, quirk, like, on a normal everyday thing, we're not speaking to each other like that, but it's nothing questionable about it.
No, there's nothing diagnosable or, like, are you concerned?
Like, and what takes something from being quirky to questionable, too? Because, like, right, I suck on my tongue, for example. I don't know if you guys can visualize it. I mean, it's like, think about sucking on a piece of candy, but the candy's not in your mouth. So you're just kind of sucking.
Are you eating something? No, yeah. It's just my, yeah, that's something I do. I when I'm doing something really difficult, I make this face and I, like, chomp on the side of my tongue. Yeah. And my wife will look at me every once in a while. Are you okay? Is that tongue taste good?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my fault. So, like,
I'm tasting good. My tongue tastes good. And I don't have to eat nothing. Like,
that's good oil.
There's no plate. But I'm like, yeah, I just, and I do it when I'm sleepy.
Really?
When I'm just sitting there.
I think we all have, like, those things particular to us.
Mm-hmm.
But so when does it become, like, I guess when would, like, the gnawing on your face or, like, the sucking on your tongue become a problem? Like, right. What else would I need to have? What do you need to have to be like, yeah, this is diagnosable? You might want to see somebody about that.
Right. I mean, like, I always think about the reason, like, why someone's doing it. And if they have to, if they stop doing that thing, will they feel distressed? Uh-huh. Because, like, why are you doing certain things like tapping your feet or gnawing on your side of your mouth or sucking on your thumb? Is this something that provides you comfort?
Is it grounding?
Yep. Is it distracting? So, right. But if it's something that's causing you distress when you're not able to do that thing, then that's when I'm like, okay, let's dig a little deeper. Mm-hmm. Like if someone, and like also like the frequency within which you're doing certain behaviors, and looking at the triggers that are associated with it. So it's kind of, you know, like a trigger for thumb sucking, for example, is like every time you're sleepy, you suck your thumb. And that's not something that
we're not, yeah.
But that's not.
You don't need to see nobody about that.
Yeah, no. The worst thing that you could do is, you know, maybe your teeth.
Right? Yeah. Your dentist might have some feelings about that.
Yeah.
Like, but can you do something else?
Yeah, we're not have concern for your mental well-being or anything like that.
Am I bringing, yeah. I know people who, like, I have a friend who does this thing when they get really comfortable, they start playing with their belly button. And that's her quirk. And it's like very, she starts to play with her belly button and like her tongue goes out. And I'm like, you're comfortable, huh? Yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm like, I clearly like that, but we've known that about her. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, and see, that reminds me, like, my cousin, though it's funny, like when you're doing something on yourself versus if you're involving other people in it. So like my cousin, when I was younger, we actually all remember, because there's a bunch of us. We all remember that when he would talk to us, sometimes he would just start like playing with our earlobe. We're like, dude, and like he played with his own too. We're like, what are you doing, boy? Like,
I gotta play with your earlobe.
Yeah,
like you have two of your own. My
well, like, we never. Yeah, he has two of his own. But every, you know, we just nobody, we always questioned it, but it was never taken further than kind of like, this is quirk. It was always like quirky, somewhere in between quirky and questionable. But nobody ever felt unsafe. But like, you know, he wasn't doing that with strangers.
Yeah.
Right. So if he was going about doing that with everybody he talked to, it was like, okay, that now it's really questionable.
Boundaries.
We
have to start
looking at, you know, why do you feel like you can cross that boundary with people and touch? Because that's not a norm. It's not truly.
Across the board. Across the board.
Just talk to people that you don't know.
Especially their ears. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, right. The face area, that's pretty intimate zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, my question, though, for our listeners, too, is, like, why are we trying to pathologize and diagnose everyone in our lives? Because I feel like that's what I'm seeing a lot of that right now.
Yeah, like, why can't it just be a quirk? Like, oh, they just do that differently. Why does it need, oh, they do that because, you know, they have some disorder or, like, can they just be different?
And I'm thinking, like, is it hard to accept that? Like, is it hard to accept your own quirks? And so you're like, okay, this has to be diagnosable, so an official and certified, so that people can accept me and not treat me differently for it or something. I don't know. I mean, that's...
Yeah, like, if we don't put it in some and label it with some other thing...
Not important. It's not significant enough.
Or, yeah, like, does it... Are they too different? If we don't label it something, or is that us trying to control somebody else's narrative of who they are? Because these labels, when we talk about the DSM, these labels go a long way, right? If you're diagnosing somebody as OCD,
right,
that means something very meaningful,
right?
And how they move in their lives and stuff like that, and like seeking treatment and support for that kind of thing,
right?
Because
that disorder is a lot of stress involved in that, and navigating and managing the stress that you feel from not, you know, doing certain behaviors. So it can be almost, I think it can be disrespectful, honestly.
Yeah. What's the other one that people love to use? Bipolar. Like, somebody could be quick to anger. And that doesn't mean they're bipolar. Like, they could go from 0 to 100. That just means they're quick to anger.
Right.
That's all it means. Or like, oh my God, they seem so fine or whatever. They might have seemed fine to you, but like whatever you said was upsetting, or whatever they heard or whatever have you, and they got upset. Just because they were happy 5 minutes ago doesn't, just because they got mad now, doesn't they, oh, they're bipolar. That's not.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
That's not what that is. There's so much more involved in that diagnosis. And I think people use these terms so offhandedly, and it's really disrespectful.
And I think also to kind of distance yourself from someone else, like to really make them other.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think that, and as you were talking though, B, I was also thinking about kind of the flip side of when there are things that are happening that we're not questioning, that we should be questioning.
Like what what's coming to mind?
So I was thinking about actually some eating disorders, eating disorder behaviors. So, you know, sometimes we'll see. Well, I used to work at a residential clinic, so a lot of the behaviors that I would see that I learned about there were like some people would over season their food, like heavily pepper their food to obscure like the taste so that they weren't enjoying it. And that was part of the disorder. And so, you know, when you have people in your life who are maybe doing certain behaviors with their foods or eating a certain way, or maybe even how they relate to other people, or if they tend to touch people a lot, and you're like, oh, that's just them.
Yeah.
And it's questionable. It's like, if it's questionable, ask some questions, and not just kind of write it off as quirky. So there is another side to it. Did you have something?
No, I was just thinking about eating in terms of like, are you only eating once a day? Like, what is that? Like, what is it? Intermittent fasting is this big thing, right? And I'm like, I get that, but when is that something to question in terms of disordered eating? You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's just, or someone being a very picky eater. Yeah. Could there be something else that's underlying there that we need to question? What else does that come with? And this is not to go run and say like, oh, I saw this and, you know, this we must, it's not a quirk. We need to go investigate. But like, how is that affecting that person or other people around them?
Right.
Like yeah.
Is it caused the distress and mm-hmm. the persistence and the triggers? And so like, you have to look at all the other factors around it before you're like, I saw someone do that and that means this.
But and it's also not everybody's job to do that.
Right.
There's specific
don't people. Put it on yourself if you have a concern about a loved one, you know, if it's questionable, ask questions.
Right. Ask them if they have any questions about it or if it's something that concerns them.
But like, what? I see that. I noticed that you do that.
Has that always been a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You're good with it. I just want to make sure you're okay.
Yep.
Right. As opposed to being overbearing
mm-hmm. or labeling.
Yeah. Let's not.
Shaming. Because when I think about some of the other things that people do that might be considered quirky, like a lot of stemming behaviors, so like foot tapping or rocking your body mm-hmm. or, I don't know, maybe like pulling at your hair a little bit.
Humming. Like people, mm-hmm. a lot of people do stuff like that when they're just anxious or they're bored,
mm-hmm.
right? Doesn't have to be a big thing. It brings them comfort.
Yep. Helps you to regulate.
Yes.
Excessive noise, self-soothe,
mm-hmm.
Which is all great. But then we also see people who are on the autism spectrum that do these behaviors as well. And so knowing to be like being able to differentiate, right? Like maybe if you're someone who hums to yourself to self-soothe, but you realize, hey, I'm not going to hum in the middle of church,
yes.
for example, where you typically maybe have to be quiet sometimes mm-hmm. in the library, really.
Yeah.
But someone on the spectrum might not get certain social cues or understand certain social cues. And so then we say, okay, maybe but, there's something diagnosable here.
Yeah. But again, there are people to do that. That's not like everybody's job.
Right.
It's just, is it quirky or questionable? What are the questions that you have for it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like who do you need to go talk to?
Yeah.
Right. Like some, as we talked about, like disordered eating, that might be a nutritional, and talking to your nutritionist or talking to your doctor, like, hey, these are some behaviors I've had that I've noticed. Or if you're a parent, these are some things I noticed about my kid.
Yeah. They seem to have a preference for certain textures,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fine. Having a preference.
If that's what it is, that's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there are other reasons for that, something to check in on, but not to freak out. This isn't, you know, and we all have like our quirks. There are, I actually realized I love to walk through leaves and like, I like the crunch. I like the sound. And I realize if I'm walking side by somebody, they're like, why are you kicking up the leaves? Or like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's just something that brings me joy.
It's a fall I commit to every day, crunching at least one leaf. I have to.
Right.
It's a must.
But that doesn't mean anything specific,
mm-hmm.
right? In terms of DSM, it's just, I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think really assessing for yourself, like, oh my God, it's so odd. It's different from other people. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it being your magic, being you. Right.
Quirks are would add like the seasoning to your life, the personality. You know?
It's the salt, the pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying the sriracha sauce.
The adobo.
Yes. That's of you. That's of you. And I think not to be afraid of that, but like definitely to ask questions if you have valid ones about, hey, this feels weird or this, it's interrupting the flow of my life.
Yeah.
To really question that.
Yeah. So embrace the quirks and ask the questions.
Yeah. And take it easy.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All content and information on this platform, including products and/or services, is for informational and educational purposes only and does not replace medical, psychological, or health advice of any kind with a qualified professional. Take care and be safe. Mm-hmm.